this guy outside the window? Wait a minute. Oh, he just stopped. There he is. You probably can't hear him. There's a guy who sells fruit every day here in Sao Paulo. And he drives by in his car, I guess. And he has a loudspeaker. And the guy is, I can't understand a word he's saying, obviously speaking Portuguese, but he has this voice like, it sounds like one of Hitler's speeches. But he sounds like Satan, and I say, you know, I joke here, I say it's time for Satan's daily address. But he's selling like mangoes and grapes and bananas and pineapples, but it sounds like Satan to me calling his faithful. And then I realized, well, of course not. Satan's voice doesn't sound like Adolf Hitler's. It's very pure and elegant and disguised as white. We're going to be talking about the wild beast tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to that. What could be more fun than talking about the wild beast? But today we're going to talk about the seven spirits of God. Because there is spiritual warfare in heaven. Whatever you see on earth is a result of seven spirits of God with good influences, unless they are enacting God's judgments. And you're going to see that those spirits like frogs, right? How many frogs did John see? Was it seven? It's interesting if it was seven. I think it was. Let me look this up real quick if I can here. I think the Satan has stopped talking for now. Frogs. I should have been ready with this, but I'm thinking it was seven. Let me look this up here. F-R-O-G-S. Maybe you can beat me to it. All right, I hope you got your scriptures with you while we're doing this, because I don't even know where the passage is exactly. People make fun of me for not knowing where scriptures are, because I'm always saying, you know, read the whole Old Testament, you find it. But the Bible is just too big to know where everything is. And besides, that's not the point anyway. I know people have the entire Bible memorized, and they brag about it. And I used to think that was a great thing. I used to have this Bible trivia game, and I tried to be very proficient at it. But then I realized, in the end, it doesn't matter. Who cares? That's not the point. Revelation 16:13. People can know, continue to know, and never come to a realization of the truth. So it doesn't matter if you have Bible verses memorized, or if you can win Bible trivia games. Big whoop. It's, do you know the truth of God? So I know people who are, quote, biblically illiterate, and yet they know the truth. So what's more important? More important is knowing the truth. Wild beast, and I perceive, this is 16:13. Out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the wild beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as if frog. Doggone it. No way, this is good. What am I upset for? That there's fewer frogs than there are spirits of God. I wanted there to be as many frogs as there were. Everything in my Bible's falling apart. Ah, God. I wish I was organized. There's three frogs, and they're going to go into the kings of the whole inhabited earth and to mobilize them. My God. Okay, my conclusion is this. One of two things. Either these frickin' frogs, the three spirits, are so wicked that it only takes three of them to affect the kings of the earth, which is what they do. Right. Yes, that's another possibility. I think I'm going to go with this. Or it could be that the kings of the earth are so stupid anyway, and they've been so dumbed down by, you know, Obama and the Jews, that it only takes three frog-like spirits to entice them. So we have the seven spirits. Another way I'm going to look at it is that I should be happy, shouldn't I, that the spirit of God, the seven spirits of God, outnumber the froggy spirits, the frog spirits. There's seven of them and three of them. But in another way, it would comfort me more if there were only three spirits of God and seven frogs, because then I know the spirit wins right? It's almost like the David and Goliath thing. I'm happy, in a way, when I see Goliath loaded down, freighted with armor, and David, who has five stones, wins. Oh, but on the other hand, he has five stones. Stones are nothing. So he has more of what he has, but Goliath has a giant spear, and the head of the spear weighs more than, you know, the Washington Monument. So this is very interesting. This is very interesting. I think this is what my conclusion is as I amble on about this live with you here, is that it only takes three spirits to deceive humanity because they've been worked on for 6,000 years. So they are so ready to be tipped that you could probably go and knock them down. So three frogs could do it. And three frogs are going to do it. Should I say three evil spirits, three demons disguised as frogs. However, or that perhaps do look like frogs, that John was given the gift of being able to see them. I don't want that gift. Thank you very much. I'm content with suffering under their invisible power as they make the kings of the world stupider and stupider by the day. Anyway, let's go to the seven spirits of God. Oh, by the way, yeah, it's going to take, when time comes to kill the inhabitants of the earth, there's going to be 200 million horsemen. No, wait, is that can't be right. How many horsemen come out of the abyss? Yeah, 200 million. Criminy. So there's going to be a vast horde that is assigned to kill humanity. My point in all this is that the earth is affected by spiritual wars. They're being enacted here. Now I'm going to go to Revelation 5, verses 1 through 12. I'll pick up the contents of my Bible later. They're all over the floor because I got things flying all over here. Revelation 5, 1. I perceived on the right hand of him who was sitting on the throne a scroll, written in front and on the back and sealed up with seven seals. Now, these seven seals are going to be open throughout the book of Revelation and their judgments. A seal is a judicial proclamation, okay? It's a government decree. So whenever you see the seals, you're thinking of a governmental decree, and the seals are opened. And the thunder, which follows the seals, is the arm of the government, the might of the government, the military power that's going to enact the proclamation of the seal. So the seal is a declaration of God. I perceived a strong messenger. That's a celestial being, heralding with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? We're still in figures of speech. I know it seems like we're still in literal or figurative. That's the theme of this whole 2 weeks. But now we're going into something we're going to go into in detail later, but we're preempting it to see the figures here. And no one in heaven, nor on earth, nor yet underneath the earth was able to open the scroll, neither to look at it, not even to look at it. They couldn't even cast their eyes on it. And I lamented much that no one was found worthy to open the scroll, neither to look at it. So John is kept in suspense as he's watching this scene. John is watching this scene unfold, watching it. This stuff has to be explained to him because it's too fantastic. And lo, one of the elders, one of the 24 elders who rule the universe, hello, the universe, one of those elders is saying to me, don't lament, lo, he conquers. The lion, watch this, I talked about this yesterday. The lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is to open the scroll, to loose its seven seals. See, I told you that these scrolls have seven seals associated with them. Seven seals. And I perceived in the center of the throne, and of the four animals, can't wait to tell you about these animals, and in the center of the elders, a lambkin standing. All right, in verse 5, he was called the lion out of the tribe of Judah. In verse 6, he's called a lambkin. Which is it? It's both. He's strong and that he's able to gaze upon this disaster that's coming upon the earth. He's the only one who can look at it, who can see the seals, which unveil the thunders, which unveil the bowls of the wrath of God being completed on the earth. He's the only one who can look this in the eye and live. Do you often wonder how Jesus Christ or God could see the evil on the earth, know what's going on, not only know what's going on, but dictate it, be able to look at it, and how can they not lay in bed for the rest of the day? How can they not just give up and die, because they know they're the only ones worthy to do it, because they see the end of the matter. They are looking through it. So we would look at, John couldn't even gaze at the scroll. Nobody, not even the elders. The elders are not able to look at the scroll? Wait a minute. Certainly, who is worthy to open the scroll, loose its seals? The seals are the judgments of God. It's horrible. It's terrible. The locusts, the thunders, the 200 million cavalry, or however how many there are underneath. No one was able to open, neither to look at it. So not even one of these elders, or any being under the earth, which can only be the spirits that were disobedient in the days of Noah. Why they would even have a chance to look at it, I have no clue. As of today, I will find out for you. I lamented that no one was found worthy to scroll, neither to look at it. They couldn't even look at it. And one of the elders is saying to me, don't lament. So he's called the lion because he's strong. He can look at it. He's powerful. He can take it, man. You and I can't take it. We can't even gaze on him today if he showed up and take it. We couldn't take it if he showed up today. Just like Paul was blinded because he was not yet fit in his current body. Body of humiliation, to gaze upon the glory of Jesus Christ. So he was blinded. My God, and that was even hidden. That wasn't his true form. But then he's called the lambkin. Now we see that he has good in mind. So the same one he has good in mind, the same one who's strong enough to open it, is gentle enough, the baby lamb, to open it and do it. And this is the cool part. A lambkin, as though slain. He looked slain. He looked as though he was slain, but he was alive. But I think this means that he's still bearing his scars from Calvary. I think we will see the nail prints and all that. Okay, having seven horns and seven eyes. Wow. Seven horns speaks of strength. Seven horns, symbols of power. The Lion of Judah, seven horns and seven eyes. What are eyes but illumination, discernment, light? He sees everything, right? He can look to the end of it, not just the beginning of a thing. Which are, these things are the seven spirits of God, commissioned for the entire earth. Commissioned. There are seven spirits of God that attend Jesus Christ. They're of God. They belong to God. They attend Jesus Christ. This is just fascinating to me. That these seven spirits are mobilized. They are like the arm of Jesus Christ's power on the earth. And he sends them, dispatches them. They are seven literal spirits, because that's the literal thing. Remember, they were called torches of fire before. And spirits in the scriptures before are called fire. And Jesus, even when he returns in Matthew 25, he's accompanied by holy messengers. So he's accompanied then by myriads of creatures. It's myriads. Should that be plural or singular? Myriad or myriads? I don't know, and I don't care. But the point is that he's attended by, but these, the eyes, what are called the eyes and the horns, these are seven spirits of God. So these are literal beings, more powerful, I believe, than messengers. Because the messengers here are called messengers. It was a messenger who brought up this whole thing with the scroll. I perceived a strong messenger. Yeah, well, that's nice. The messenger, that's a form of celestial being. We call them angels. They bring the coffee, okay? They ask questions. Who's worthy to open the scroll? Wow, it took a messenger. Who's worthy to open the scroll? Thank you, messenger. Now step aside, please, because now we're going to have more powerful spiritual beings, namely the seven spirits of God. And they will be dispatched to the earth to enact the judgments of God and the decrees of Christ. And they're figured by seven horns and seven eyes. Enough said.